Happy Father's Day. 2 Samuel 22, verse 33 says this, God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. Read that out loud with me together and emphasize the strength and power. Ready? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Exodus in chapter 15, in one of Moses' writings, chapter 15, verse 2, the NIV says it this way, the Lord is my strength. Notice that those two words that we said in both times. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him. Now notice this word here. My father's God. Y'all, my father's God. That's something where when you say it, you ought to just stand up a little bit taller, you know, bring your shoulders back and just smile and look and say, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Stand to your feet. We have another affirmation to make together about the wise word of God. Get ready to do it because we are doing all of this as unto our Father today. We're talking about strength. We're talking about power. He makes our way perfect. He's my salvation. He's my strength. He's my defense. And that comes from this word of God. Hold it high. Say it with me. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it one more time. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You be seated. Two words. Dads matter. Not yet. Wait for that. Dads matter. Elbow somebody, say, dads matter. And in the life of dads, the word of God needs to be the biggest thing in their lives. The word of God needs to be the biggest thing in their lives. You may ask, how big should it be? Ask me, how big? Oh, I can't hear you. I'm going to show you how big right now. Come here, boys, right now. The word is big. This is how big it needs to be in your life. In proportion to this whole room and to your whole life, how big does it have to be? Guys, put it right here at this angle, right here. Kind of angle it here for me just a little bit. This is how big it needs to be right now, okay? This is how it got it. This is how big it needs to be. This is the word. This is how big the word has to be. This is the word. By the way, this word is going to be here the whole message. And when it's over, I'd like you dads to come up and y'all take a picture by this to how big it is. I'll take some with you if you want to. And we'll just talk about how big it is right now. I think this, how big should God be? Always have this visual in your mind right now when we talk about how big. Say how big. Got it right here. When it came to dads, God knew what he was doing. In fact, that's why God created Adam first. He didn't want any advice on how to create him. God didn't want any advice. In fact, there's a big difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. You know, there really is. Get that picture, Mary Alice. Here's Mother's Day versus Father's Day. And this is the day. You can't quite see it too well there. You see, Mother's Day, she's getting crowned and they're hugging on her. There's Dad sitting out there outside on a swing out there somewhere right there. That's the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day right there. That's it. If you really want to see that, that is the graphic for you. That is the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And I think that's pretty strong right now. But together you need to know this. That Jesus, mom, and dad are the scripture's threefold cord for life. Jesus, the mom, the dad. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says it this way, hear my son, your father's instruction, or the instruction of your father, and forsake not the teaching or the law of your mother. We are living in a time, though, where dads don't get enough respect. I'm sorry. Just got to say it. It's where we are right now. One lady said this the other day. She said, my husband has been missing for a week now. The police called and said, prepare for the worst. So I had to go back to Goodwill and get all of his clothes back, she said. You'll get it in a minute. The son said, mom, how did humans come to exist? The mom said, well, you see, God created Adam and he created Eve. He said, yeah, but dad said we came from apes. Mom said, he was talking about his family. I'm telling you about mine, she said. You'll use that at lunch, won't you? You know, real dads might not be perfect, but we're really hoping, especially as a kid, you want to look up your dad as brave. How many think your dad needs to be brave? Here's another kid talking about his brave dad. Show this for me, Mary Alice, real quick right now. Here's a test he's doing. Who is your hero? He said, dad, why do you consider this person your hero? He is brave. Is there anything your hero is frightened of? He wrote, mom. Kind of says it, doesn't it? Some of these things, you just got to let them just lay, you know, a little bit. My dad's brave, isn't he? But to those of you who are laughing, you need to be respectful of your dad. He passed high school without Google. I showed Tyler a picture of a card catalog in a library one day. I should have been talking to him about the invention of fire, you know what I mean? He didn't get it. Today I'm here to honor dads, to encourage dads. Men who are not afraid of what we read a moment ago, God is my strength and my power. God is my strength and power. Talking about brave dads, sharp dads, new dads, old dads, sad dads, happy dads, discouraged dads, trying dads, working at it. And I'm even talking to some failed dads. Maybe on this, who will listen to this later on. But I just want to encourage you, as I laugh and say so many times, it ain't over till it's over. You know, there's a loving God there's always time with God. If there's a heart toward him, the soul that is honest, that really cries out. You read scriptures about people asking Jesus for things. And the ones who asked Jesus of things that he knew was either an entrapment or a diversion or not really a sincere request, he just went on his way. But for those who asked, maybe might even been one word, might have been help. When he heard that sound, he went toward that one that called out right now. But I do need to tell you something right now. The war against dads is very real. It's very, very ferocious. Talking about the culture is really too easy. We understand that. We understand that. But I think the failure right now starts in the church, especially the churches of America, but the church that's supposed to be the body of Christ. Leadership that has come. I sat at a table this week with a man who belongs for many years to a traditional denominational church. He's a good man. Good man. He's faithful to his church. And he said, our church is coming apart. He said, it's coming apart. He said, the things that they're talking about, they're coming apart. He said, I can't even be a part of these things anymore. People laughingly talk about the left coast. That's where a lot of the stuff comes from. I see videos of effeminate preachers in a pulpit. Or I see ladies who are not feminine with all the regalia on, mixing a cross with a rainbow. It's too easy to talk about the culture thing. We've got that. But that which would be done in the church, especially with little children around. Somebody said, get the millstones ready. Lynn and I have been out in Oregon a few times. There's a little area, like a Metairie would be to Portland area, called Clackamas. There was a shooting at a mall there called the Clackamas Mall many years ago. Lynn and I had just been in that mall about 2 or 3 months before. We knew that very, very well in that area. I want to show you the front of a sign of one of the churches in Clackamas from just last Sunday. Show it for me, Mary Alice. Here's what they said from the Clackamas United Church of Christ. Happy Pride Month. Jesus had two dads, and we think that's fabulous. God's going to say something about that. Yeah, we can talk about the war on the outside against dads and the role of dads, but I'm here to tell you right now, the judgment's going to start in the house of God, as the scripture says. Depart from me, I never knew you. He said that in the book of Matthew. You know, instead of Pride Month and Father's Day, we ought to have Father's Month and Pride Day if we have to do one. But it brings me to a scripture that I've laid in front of you on 2 or 3 different occasions for the last 3 months, because that's how long I've been living in these passages and seeing how all roads lead to Rome, so to speak. 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's talking about the last days, verse 1. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be many difficult times. King James and the other versions will usually say perilous times will come. Now watch what's going on here. For men will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful, they'll be proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Now notice the whole last line there. I read this about 2 months ago, and I said, remember that line, I'm coming back to it. You might not remember it. They will consider nothing sacred. Okay, here's where we are for our lesson this morning. Nothing sacred, especially strong dads, especially brave dads, especially sharp dads, dads that aren't afraid to say, he is my strength and he is my power. But they want to destroy it all they can. We've all seen in our current society, it's hell-bent on destroying the traditional respect for each of our functions and our ancestral functions, so to speak, in our life. As a result, there's a blatant encouragement to disrespect the roles of men and women. And when that happens, that deteriorates society. You see, one of the goals right now is to silence the man. To silence the man. I'm not talking about the effeminate man. I'm not talking about the man that can't decide what he wants to be. You go to Disney right now and you go to the little princess store that sells the dresses. The one who answers the door that has the princess dress on has a full mustache and a beard in Disneyland right now. One of the goals is to silence men. And today we literally celebrate the neutering of men. We're here. Can't you see it? They will consider nothing sacred. One writer calls it, they profane that which is precious. And all the more today, we need men who will stand up and speak up. And what do I say? Out of the box, all you need is this. God is my strength. God is my power. I'm not asking you to learn debate things. You don't need that. You can't. Mark Twain said it this way, no amount of facts will convince a fool. That ought to be in Proverbs. In one such situation in Scripture, similar where we are today, the land was corrupt, the land was defiled. And Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23 starts here. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. How's that a good start out of the box? And he says, son of man. Stop right there. Every one of us are a son or a daughter of someone. Okay? You just didn't get here. You just didn't get here. July's going to come and Caitlin will still be an XY. Son of man, say to the land. By the way, even Jesus had a father. Say to the land, you are a land that has been cleansed or rained on in the day of my wrath. There's a conspiracy of her princes within her like a roaring lion, tearing its prey. They devour people, they take treasures and the precious things and make many widows within her. This is very descriptive language. Her priests do violence to my law. They profane my holy things, like the Clackamas Church. They profane holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbath so that I am profaned among them. Here we are. God the Father is even saying they have profaned my name. So again, I'm not talking about culture. I'm talking about it should start in the church. It should start with those who speak the word. I am profaned. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood. They kill people. They kill people. They kill babies to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these. But I love that. I love to use the word that he uses prophets there, because he is saying this is a religion. Okay? He could have said they're people, but prophets is the connotation that is some kind of liturgical order there in this situation, but we know it's ungodly. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign Lord says when the Lord has not spoken. I'm waiting for that day that somebody stands up and says, and God's okay with this, and all of a sudden this voice, no, I'm not okay with that. I'd love to see it, and I think we will one day. The people of the land, now listen to this, they practice extortion. That's what's going on in the highest form of our government right now. There's extortion, there's bribery, there is extortion that's gone on because of entrapment that has happened and the gross perversion and sin that goes all the way to the top. They practice extortion. They commit robbery. They oppress the poor. They oppress the poor. I'm tired of the reverend showing up everywhere, and they're talking about the poor people, and they get a $20,000 fee for showing up, plus the private jet. I'm tired of that. Don't give me that. They oppress the poor and the needy. They mistreat the foreigner. They deny them justice. But in the midst of this mess, notice this, God doesn't give up hope. He said, and I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. And probably five of the most tragic words in Scripture where he says, but I found no one. Wow. So I'm going to pour out my wrath on them. I'm going to consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their heads all that they have done, declares the sovereign Lord God, Father God. I can stand, and I'm on firm ground, I think firmly in the word, to say to you today, God is still looking. God is still looking for that one, that man especially, that will stand in the gap. The one that's not afraid to stand up. You don't have to be distasteful, but by your very word, they're going to hate your guts. And say, God is my strength and my power. We need dads. But right in the middle of all this, all of a sudden, I got a revelation. I had a word from God. We need dads. I got a word from God, a revelation from God. You ready for it? English teachers aren't going to like it, but here's what God said. The devil don't like dads. That's the whole thing right there. The devil don't like dads. That's why the war on dads. That's why to confuse them sexually, to neuter them, to change them, to weaken them, to change them and take them away and take that which was precious and beautiful from God and corrupt it. Because the devil don't like dads. But do you want to know why? I'm not just going to say it and go home, okay? I got this. I'm okay with this. I got this. Do you know when you're talking about a dad, the role of the father, the role of the dad is the only entity in Scripture that is compared to God the Father. The role of the dad, The role of the priest is the only one compared to God the Father. Think about it. The mom, she's revered. She's sainted. She's precious. You saw the crown. You saw the thing. The church even is the bride, looked on as the bride. The followers are the sheep. But the Father is the priest. The responsibility is great, but it is God ordained. Got it? So that's why the dad is the only entity that is compared in Scripture to the Father God. That's pretty good when you think about it. Psychologists, both Christian and secular, tell us that the most formative years for a child is from birth to 12 years old. Says the view of how a child sees the world, how he feels about himself, is shaped by the family in which he or she grew up in. The father's influence in his child's life is critical to their view of God the Father. And dad, your responsibility starts the moment that little sucker screams. Show's on. Show's on. Showtime. Now, I'm going to stop right here for just a minute. Some of you are here today, and you're good people. You love God with all, you serve God. But there's a little bitty pinch somewhere down there in the corner, and we've all gone through these things, where perhaps your actual physical image and your experience with the father figure was not healthy or kind, perhaps even abusive or even without. And it's very easy to have a hard time to understand. But let me just tell you this. Here, I told my boys this a lot of times when they were little. And they'd go through situations. And a lot of times it came from church-type people. And you grew up in that fishbowl. I know all about that. And you got to get to a point in each of your lives, I said, well, you have to know God's good. But sometimes people are crazy. But God's good. God's good. God never changes. And do not allow that just because you just say, Lord, thank you, I'm here. Thank you. You use that to get me here because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And the only thing I say to you, don't reproduce that thing. Start a new history in Jesus' name. Start a new family line in Jesus' name. Dad, it starts, and I'm asking dads to step up. Well, maybe I'm a little older now. What do? My family. Antonio Daniels was a great basketball player. Antonio Daniels was a great basketball player. He played, most of his years he played in San Antonio Spurs. He actually played for the Pelicans. He played for when they were the Hornets. And he played for the Hornets, and one of his main teammates was the head coach, Willie Green, right now. They were teammates together. Antonio Daniels started a broadcasting career after he retired, covered the Spurs for a lot of years, been on NBA radio, Sirius Radio. He is actually the color guy he's the color commentator for the Pelican games right now. Really nice guy. He's a man, and Ken and I have had him a few times on our radio show, and he's a strong guy. He's a strong guy. And he's lived a life, he's loved God, but he said, I've gone back and forth a lot of times. And he said, I want to live the rest of my life for God. Just a few weeks ago, Antonio Daniels in San Antonio, Texas, walked into the baptismal waters in front of his children. He's the guy you hear on the Pelican games on the TV with Joel Myers there. He's a man of God. Here is what Antonio Daniels said about that moment. He said, yesterday I was water baptized. He said, I rededicated my life to Christ. He said, as men, the enemy can make us doubt the impact that we have on our homes. The faces, the hearts, and the love of my wife and children say different, though. Change a man, and you'll change his family. And Antonio Daniels said this, I'm here, Lord. I'm ready. I'm waiting. I'm willing. What a dad. Last time I saw him, I told him that. What a dad. What a dad. Wherever you start, you can have that good influence right now. See, God, even when talking with Moses and dealing with the children of Israel, drew a dad picture to Moses. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, he said, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you. How? How? As a father carries his son. That was a visual they could understand. You got it? all the way you went until you reached this place. God even used that visual. I carried you like a father. But let me just say it straight up. Dads are a work in progress doing a work in progress. You got that? Dads are a work in progress. Sometimes we hit it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we hit it, sometimes we don't. But you got to stay faithful to the word. You know, Jesus in Matthew 7, he actually gives three layers and ends up kind of in the dad's lap, if you look at it kind of from this angle this morning. In level one, he's telling everybody in chapter 7, verse 7, keep on asking, you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, the door will be open to you. For everyone, dads, everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, James, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. In other words, he says, stay engaged, ignore your eyes. Ignore your feelings. Ignore your eyes. And then level two, he then brings it a little bit closer in responsibility. In verse 9, he said, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake? What's Jesus? And I love that word. Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. Now he goes a little bit deeper. A third level. Watch. A third level. He said, so if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, that is the highest level in his story of impartation, will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? Today, all scriptural and social roles are no longer sacred, especially regarding dads. It's been long propagated, slowly and even sometimes with a laugh. Dad's a buffoon. Dad's an idiot. Dad's worthless. Dad doesn't work. Dad's dumb. But we need dads because the word of the Lord came to me and said, the devil don't like dads. And if the devil don't like it, I'm for it. So let's make dads great again. Make men masculine again. Make children innocent again. Make women feminine again. By the way, the only sex education that a third grade boy needs is that girls still have cooties. That's all they need to know. That's fine. You destroy a nation by attacking the family. You destroy a family by attacking the father. You destroy a father by attacking the mother. You destroy a mother by attacking the children. The attacks that we're going through right now in America and the world are sophisticated. They're strategic. They are intentional. So we must always be aware. You know, in Psalm 32, David says something about, Lord, you are my hiding place, the place that I go to. I'm not going to, and I thought about taking each one of these points and spending time on each, and maybe I'll come back and do that on another day. Let me give you just a five-point job description. You're like the Heavenly Father. What are 5 points of your fatherhood? Number one, protect. Two, provide. Prepare. Point. And pray. Stop right there. You're the protector. You're the protector. I'm a gentle spirit. I'm a gentle spirit. I really am. But if you try to harm one of those three in my house, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to tell you that right now. I might pray for you after I hurt you, but I'm going to hurt you. Remember one time we went to Tiger Stadium. Jeff was little. When I say little, he was already here. He was about eight years old. And we were seeing the Tigers play. We were some friends. And, you know, the big inflatable bats that you blew up, you know, like that. And he wanted the little souvenir with the Detroit Tiger logo on it. And there was this drunk man that came up and kept pulling at his bat. And as we're walking out, and we're going through, and we're going through this place, and he kept pulling, and I saw Jeff, and it was fearful, and this guy was really getting very, very close in his space, and I just, hey man, that's all I did at first. Then he reached and pulled it again, and he started like he was trying to take it out of Jeff's hand, and Jeff turned around, and I saw the look on his face, and he was afraid, and I stopped right there, and I said, let me tell you something, dude. We were walking on this ledge, and I said, hey, somebody, if you pull that one more time, you and me are going to be all over here, and I'm going to throw you over that side right now. You got that right now? I'm glad he didn't ask me what I did, but I just... And what do? I work for the bread company. That's what I do. I'm an electrician. I'm a plumber. That's why I never drove the church van with the name on the side. But I'm going to tell you what, and that you should be ferocious like that. The job is also to provide. Get off your behind. Quit blaming everybody else. I'm going to talk about that next week. The whole thing we're doing, it's a constant lesson. And you just can't let them know. It's a whole preparation thing. And as I said, and I think in one of my messages a few weeks ago, it is more often caught than taught. You know what I mean? And you do that. And then what you're doing at the same, and then you are then pointing them. You're pointing them based on the foundation of the word. You're pointing them with ideas. You're pointing them. And there's a point in time where you can't do anything else. Your job then is to pray. And they may be a little older. And you've walked through those times and you tried to protect them. But boy, there's been so many things come at them. There's been so many that wants their lives and wants their attention and wants their minds and wants their bodies and all those things like that we're seeing right now. And maybe some of you are here today and you're sad because of some of those situations. But you did that as unto God. You lay it in God's hands. You got to trust what the word of God says because it will come to pass. You're going to see it here or you're going to see it there. And I speak life to you. And some of them, maybe they've gone on. Maybe they're in different things like that. But if you've done, maybe I started late in this. Okay, well, start now. It's the old adage, when's the best time to plant a tree? 25 years ago. When's the next best time? Today. And I just want to encourage you right now, right where you are, no matter who you are. And just because you were a church kid, maybe some of you forget these things. We lost a great giant a few weeks ago, Charles Stanley, one of the great preachers of our generation. Charles Stanley's grandson, raised in the church, went through a life where he had to discover things for himself sometimes. He just wished people didn't have to do that sometimes. And his life did not glorify God. And he hit a real, real low place. And what he did at that low place, he called that one voice. And he wrote this a few weeks ago. And he said he called his grandfather, and he's talking to him, and Charles Stanley said this, why don't you give Jesus another try? Why don't you give Jesus another try? He said, Matthew, I always want you to remember this. The most important thing in life is to obey God and then to leave all the consequences to him. That's protect, provide, prepare, point, and pray all in one sentence right there. Matthew, most important thing is to obey God and leave all the consequences to him. And he got to the end of that life, and it was a life of faithfulness. Speaking of a life of faithfulness, we all said goodbye to Pat Robertson last week. Well, I heard his detractors. His final word was to all of his kids, God is faithful. That was what he wanted them to know. God is faithful. I first met Pat in the 80s. The great Washington for Jesus rally, that was a historic thing. And as a young boy, I was seated, hanging off the side of the stage right there when Pat came up, and I met him the first time. I found this in my file when he was running for president. I was excited for him. I remember that. The times he spoke for us in our church. The other times in conferences that I was able to stand by him. The legacy is God is faithful. That is protect, provide, prepare, point, and pray all in one. Both of the lives of these men, Charles Stanley and Pat Robertson, were based and sustained on the word, basically, that said, God is my strength. God is my power. Sharp guys, sharp dads too. Hebrews 4:11 reminds us that the word of God is sharp and powerful. The word is sharp. The word is powerful. Dads, I'm calling on you to be sharp. Not ZZ Top's well-dressed man. But I'm calling you to be sharp. How can this be? How can you do this? On your own, you can't be sharp. You're sharpened by the biggest thing. You're sharpened by the biggest thing. This is where you get sharp, dads. This is where you get strong. This is where you get bold. This is the word of the Lord right now. I'm calling on you to do this. You can do it. You can do it. I don't feel too sharp. I don't feel too brave, like the little boy wrote on his lesson. But perhaps the question one would do, Dad, how do you keep doing this? Where do you get your strength? The daily declaration has to be, God is my strength. He is my power. Your declaration of faith must be of godly strength that's firmly established in the biggest thing, the Word of God. It starts with a daily declaration of your faith. A daily thing. I'm not talking about some fake, macho, chest-beating, intimidating histrionics that people acquaint that you're strong and you're the dad. In the comedies even, started in the 50s. Ralph would look at Alice and he'd say to her, he says, I'm king and you're nothing. And Alice in that deadpan return would go, well, that makes you king over nothing, doesn't it? Do you see what I'm saying? We need a dad in a daily declaration, not saying I'm the king of the jungle. We need a man like David that says, the Lord is my light. Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's a dad of strength and power. Don't be ashamed to say, hey, I'm not perfect. I'm going to make some mistakes. But know this, God is the strength of my life. And when I need to bring out the eraser and start over, I want you to know the Lord is the strength of my life. Dad, say it out loud. The Lord is the strength of my life. This is not natural strength. Dad, say it with me. The Lord is the strength of my life. Say that with me. The Lord is the strength of my life. And you might be facing some bad struggles here today, even as I said earlier. Struggle of bad father memories, thus bristling at the image of Father God, your real father. Paul said it this way to remind the church in 2 Corinthians, I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and my daughters, says the Almighty God. That's the real Father's Day. That's the real thing. Dads need to stay, by the way. We got too many dads that are leaving. Look at the NBA, the mess there. Dads are leaving. Three charges. Stay faithful, dads. Stay the example, dad. Stay in the word, dad. Make your proclamation today and let your family hear it. God is the strength of my life. Dad, stand with me. Just the dads right now. Say with me, God is my strength and my power. Say it. God is my strength and my power. Y'all can do a whole lot better than that right now. I've heard you. I've heard your voice. Say it with me. God is my strength and power. Say it again. God is my strength and my power. Now, impart that blessing as you walk out of here today, because dads matter. The devil don't like dads. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. A good, good father is here for you.